left corner to Aguila. Aguila the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguila. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Right, welcome to a Thursday edition of the program, coming at you from Adrenaline Source for Sports, 9309 McLeod Trail South. That's where we're doing this hour of Flames Talk from. Flames Talk available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. So that's where I am. We welcome in Wes Gilbertson of Post Media, who is with us in Washington, D.C., little U.S. nation's capital for U.S. Thanksgiving for Wes Gilbertson, who's with us as well. Hi, Wes.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How's Thanksgiving south of the border treating you?
You know, as you could imagine, in a government town, it's pretty quiet around here on this holiday Thursday.
I would imagine so. And hopefully you've been able to enjoy some of the festivities south of the border. What'd you make of Wednesday night in Pittsburgh? Kind of tough to do too much to start off a program called Flames Talk without talking about that performance from Dan Vladar. I thought that was the best goaltending performance of any Flame this season, and that was the best between-the-pipes performance we've seen this year. 38 saves, 39 shots, and boy, did he slam the door shut in the third period, especially when Pittsburgh, I felt, was at their most dangerous. Is that the best goaltending performance of the season for you, too?
Yeah, without question. And I scribbled down several saves that jumped out at me. I know there was a kind of flash of the pad on Sidney Crosby, who then proceeded to take the puck behind the net and set up Rickard Rakell. Another great save there. Slams the five hole on Jeff Carter on the breakaway. Couple really big gloves on Chris Letang when Chris Tanev wasn't falling in front of Letang's slap shots. So just a really impressive performance from Dan Vladar. I liked his game a lot in Boston the last time we saw him. And
yeah,
you know, I know everyone wants to go back to what we heard, I think, from Daryl Sutter on, I believe it was October 15th, when he said we'll probably see Dan Vladar once a week. Obviously, that hasn't been the case, just his fourth start of the season last night. But a big part of that is sort of rebuilding the trust of the head coach. And I thought between Boston and last night, he's really taken strides in doing just that.
How are you surprised that that was only start number four? Like, we're almost at the end of November. December's around the corner, and we're talking about four of Vladar starts at this point. How come you think they've been a little bit more fewer and far between maybe than we thought they might be? Because I'm when you think about it, I'm a little surprised that he's only gone four times so far.
Yeah, I would agree with you, although what we know about Daryl Sutter is that when things aren't going well, he's going to lean on his horse. And so I imagine if you had a chance to glimpse at the goaltending calendar earlier in the season, I'm sure at some point during that seven-game skid, we were going to see a little more of Dan Vladar. But I just think Daryl Sutter thought that Jacob Markstrom gave them the best chance to snap out of that. And quite frankly, they needed Jacob Markstrom to snap out of it a little bit as well. And, you know, I think his improved play, despite that one bad goal in Tampa, has been one of the storylines of this trip. And then to get your backup go in against a team that can throw a Hall of Famer at you in the fourth round of the shootout. And by the way, what an incredible ending last night with Evgeny Malkin scoring the shootout winner on his mm-hmm. special night at PPG Paints Arena. But to have Dan Vladar go in there and essentially steal a point for you in Pittsburgh, I think that's a really encouraging, really positive development for these Flames.
Yeah, he has to get in one of these next two, right? I know the last back-to-back, they went Markstrom in New York and New Jersey, but this one's a little bit different. A, the way he played against Pittsburgh, and B, just knowing there's, you know, it's a decent amount of travel from a couple of matinee games from Friday to Saturday.
Yeah, you're looking at two afternoon games, no morning skate. You know, that's two games in, I think, 26 hours. You've got a 2 p.m. local start and a 4 p.m. local noon mountain and 2 p.m. mountain for Saturday against the Hurricanes. And so especially without morning skates. I don't think you want to throw Jacob Markstrom in for both of those. And you really, Dan Vladar deserves to be rewarded for the way he played last night. To your point, it was the best goaltending performance we've seen from the Flames so far this season. So
yep.
Whether that's in Washington, a place that he had success last season, or that's in Carolina, absolutely, I think he's earned one more start on this trip.
Yep. I'm curious to see which way they go, but I'd be this time I'd be shocked. I was a little surprised when we saw Markstrom come out in the New Jersey game to start the second half of the back-to-back, but it made a little bit more sense when you knew Boston was around the corner, that's Dan's former team, and there's next to no travel between New York and New Jersey. Well, really, there isn't. It's all ground travel. So that one made a little bit more sense. If they were to roll Markstrom out for both of these games to wrap up the six-game road trip, I'd be a little bit more surprised. And by the way, that save percentage for Vladar went from 881 to 907 with that 38 save performance last night. So the numbers took a big jump. And that's why even when you were looking at Dan's 881 save percentage earlier, you have one bad game and you've only appeared in four and started three. That one bad game like he had against Seattle is going to absolutely sewer your numbers. So they can jump and they can also take massive steps back in the blink of an eye when you're not playing a whole lot. So good to see Dan back up over 900 with that outing against Pittsburgh. And what more can you say? You mentioned it. What more can you say about the work of Chris Tanev, who he was on the verge of leaving like two or three times against Pittsburgh with some of those shot blocks. And when it was all said and done, Nikita Zadorov finishes with eight shot blocks for the Flames against Pittsburgh. They helped their goaltender out quite a bit, especially in that third period and overtime.
Yeah, you talk about Dan Vladar's save percentage taking a jump last night. I think Nikita Zadorov went from 16 blocked shots this season to 24 in one night. And two in overtime, you know, one at the buzzer. I'm not sure that that puck was getting past Dan Vladar, but no sense taking your chances on it. And then two of those by Chris Tanev. You know when you have those moments in the press box where you just cringe because of how painful it looks? There were two of those last night. I wasn't sure he was coming back after the first period. He ate the one Letang one. We saw him and Noah Hanifin both with really painful blocks on the same penalty killing sequence at the end of the first. I wasn't sure we were going to see Chris Tanev again after that. He drops in front of another one that just kind of made you cringe. And I believe the third, just one of those really gutsy efforts. I think we've come to expect those from Chris Tanev, but you really can't take them for granted. I mean, nobody blocks shots like that. Nikita Zadorov went out of his way to say, I'm not throwing myself in front of them. They just happen to be hitting me. I don't think he's giving himself enough credit there, but the way that Chris Tanev just sacrifices his body in front of shots, there's not another guy on the team with that level of commitment to doing it.
Yeah, and he's the type of guy that if you're up 6-0 and there's a late power play, he'll probably still do the same thing. Here was Dan Vladar. He joined us on our Flames Talk postgame show on Wednesday night and talked a little bit about what he got from Nikita and Tanev and guys blocking shots in front of him.
Especially as a goalie, you appreciate those players. You know, like you guys saw it in overtime. He had a 2 or 3 and Tanny, same thing, you know. So, you know, the first thing what you do after a game, you walk up to them and you just say thank you, and you know they're always there for you, and you know, and you're just trying to if they ended up making like some mistake or like a puck bounces over their stick, you need to be there for them, you know, to kind of pay them back. So, you know, that's just hockey is a team sport, and that's all we do, and I think it's been working for us really well so far. So we just gotta keep this going.
And here's that comment from Nikita Zadorov, Wes, that you mentioned when he was asked about throwing himself in front of all those pucks.
I was just in the big guy in the right lane, and the puck hits me. It's not like I'm throwing myself up there, you know. So it's definitely, I mean, we know they were shooting power play, you know. We need to eat some pucks over there to keep it out of the net. So Taney has been doing that for years, you know. I'm not so I'm learning from him, too.
So doesn't give himself a whole lot of credit there, Wes, but blocked eight of them in 25 minutes and 57 seconds of ice time. You just heard Dan talk about how important that is for what they're doing as a team. And, you know, Daryl Sutter has said a lot of good things about Nikita Zadorov this week and all season long, and he's backing that up with his ice time. 25:57 again last night for Zadorov. Like, Daryl is playing the wheels off this guy right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to circle back because I love when we play Dan Vladar audio, because I think that gives people such an insight into why they play so hard in front of him. And not that they don't in front of Jacob Markstrom. I think it's very much the same scenario. But when you hear Dan Vladar praising his teammates like that, when you hear him talking about being there to sort of bail them out when they make a mistake or when a puck jumps over their stick, that's all genuine from Dan Vladar. There might not be a more polite, genuine player in the entire NHL. And I think it has to do, at least in part, with how hard they play in front of him. I think you saw that again last night. They genuinely love this guy. They really will try to go through a wall for him. And I think you saw that on sort of both ends of the equation last night at Pittsburgh.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. He's like, he's one of the easiest guys to just sit down and chat with doing our job. And if you're a fan of the Flames and you see that guy, the way that he, you're right, praises his teammates and the way that, like, it's always selfless unless it's bad, in which case it's all his fault. Like, I love it. You know, you heard him talking when he spoke to everybody postgame in Washington. He said the same thing when he joined us on the postgame show. You know, he's like, oh, I didn't start very well. I let in the second shot. I don't even put that one all on him. I mean, sure, could you have gotten a save there? I guess. But, you know, as you pointed out on Twitter, Mangiapane needs to get that puck deep in the neutral zone, and that would allow the Flames to change safely. He didn't, so they don't. And then nice drop pass from Carter and a good drive for him. And then I don't care if Jan Ruda's got 2 goals on the season, 0 goals, or 40 goals. You let an NHLer walk into the high slot and beyond the way that he did with that head of steam, that's going to be a quality score opportunity. So I don't look at that as a weak goal from Vladar at all. It was kind of everybody on the ice led to that one getting past him.
Yeah, and I give him a lot of credit for the way he settled in. You know, don't forget that Pittsburgh put another one by him moments later or minutes later. Luckily for the Flames, they were about 15 feet offside on the play and it came back. But when the puck goes past a goalie, whether it gets called back or not, he still knows that he just turned around and fished one out of his net. And I think that's part of what made Dan Vladar's performance last night so impressive to me. I think he'd given up 2-on-4 at that point. Obviously, the one comes off the scoreboard. And then he just really settled in after that. That, you know, if that's not offside, obviously one of those giveaways you don't see very often from a trusted veteran like Trevor Lewis. And if that one doesn't come back, that could be, we could be sitting here talking about a blowout last night. And I give Dan Vladar a ton of credit for the way he sort of wiped that one away and really settled in after that. I mean, the rest of the night, he was just absolutely terrific. It was a really impressive display. I think we've seen him get in that groove a bunch of times in his season and change with the Flames, but last night was as good or close to as good as we've seen Dan Vladar, for sure.
Few texts at 960-960. This says, I give a 33% chance Sutter plays Vladar tomorrow and Saturday just because Sutter loves to mess with the world. I don't think we're going to see that. Then this says, I'm on the Dan Vladar 1A, 1B bandwagon. Based on the way Jacobs performed this season, I don't think the Flames walk away with a point yesterday if he had started. I don't know. I know that a lot of people texted and called about that on Wednesday night and said, well, you know, if Markstrom plays, do they even get a point out of that game? I don't know. I understand what you're driving at, but the fact of the matter is Vladar played really well. And I do think going forward, the last two starts, you mentioned the start against the Boston Bruins 2 weeks ago. Going forward, I do think as much as Markstrom needs to play to get his level to a higher one, I also think there is a lot to suggest that Vladar should play a little bit more as well. And if it's once a week or not once a week, that's not important. But I do think there's room to get him some more ice time here as we move into December and coming off this road trip.
Yeah, absolutely. For starters, I wouldn't put the 33% for Vladar back-to-back in the Flames' best bets later today. I don't think there's a snowball's chance in you-know-where of that happening. But you see it a lot on the text line. There's been a lot of frustration with Jacob Markstrom. Quite frankly, I think it's been a little bit overblown of late. I think more often than not in his recent starts, he has given the Flames sort of what you expect still. And he'd be the first one to admit there's been too many soft goals. But I do think Jacob Markstrom has turned the corner with his game. And yet, I do think you need to see Dan Vladar more often. That's four starts. And, you know, let's assume it's Jacob Markstrom tomorrow, which I think it probably will be. I think there's a better chance you go to your backup on the second half. But if you see Jacob Markstrom tomorrow, we're talking about 16 starts in 20 games, if I have my math right. That's 80% of the games. You know, you go through the rest of the season, what's that, 63 or 64 starts?
Yep.
So you absolutely have to get Dan Vladar more involved. I think Daryl Sutter played Jacob Markstrom more because he thought it was going to help his team get out of that funk they were in. But now that the team game is at least coming together a little bit more, still too many high danger scoring chances, and they'd be the first to tell you that. But as the team game starts to look a little bit more like the defensively sound structure we expect from the Calgary Flames, I absolutely think we need to see the backup goalie more often. You can't burn Jacob Markstrom out. I think they learned that lesson the hard way last season.
Yep. Wes Gilbertson's with us in Washington. Steinberg along with you from Adrenaline Source for Sports as this hour of Flames Talk continues. I mentioned the 25-57 for Zadorov on Wednesday night and how Daryl's playing the wheels off him. They also went down to five again against Pittsburgh. Dennis Gilbert didn't see the ice for the final 15 minutes of the third period. It was 10 shifts through the first 40 and then two shifts in the third period. And more often than not, they're using the five defensemen, and more often than not, whether it's been DeSimone or Mackey or now Gilbert, they've been going down to a shorter bench on the blue line in the back halves of hockey games. You know, we know Michael Stone was the six prior to his injury, and he's closing in on a return, but there's so many factors that fascinate me on this blue line, Wes. You've got the fact that Daryl's been very vocal about wanting Mackenzie Weegar on the right and that he and Zadorov have played well. They've got the fact that they haven't been able to find anybody so they can just use three pairings, and they have had to go down to five defensemen fairly routinely. I don't know what happens when Stone comes off of IR. Do they send Gilbert back down? Do they put Mackey on waivers? The whole conundrum that they find themselves in now on the blue line is fascinating, and I guess it all leads me to wonder if they need to go out and make an acquisition. Do they need another left shot D that they're fully comfortable with? This is going to be a really interesting story to watch play out over the next number of weeks and months.
Yeah, absolutely. And we saw Dennis Gilbert's playing time end in a hurry last night, and he had been trending upwards, right? I think he played 14 minutes in Philly. Now, that was against a team with kind of an AHL-level roster on their bottom two lines. But we saw Daryl Sutter show some faith in Dennis Gilbert previous on this trip. And quite frankly, he makes a really good play to seal the blue line that leads to Calgary's only goal last night. With Daryl Sutter, if you're the depth defenseman, if you're at the bottom of the depth chart, you just can't get away with those mistakes. And that's what we saw change last night. I think what is going to be fascinating for me is I'm not sure who you could go get that Daryl Sutter would have faith in playing more often. And I don't know exactly what's out there, but it's not that easy at this point or at any point in the season to go get a top six defenseman. There's more teams looking for them than there are looking to trade them. And so what I think we're seeing is an experiment with the Calgary Flames to see who they might have. I think you know, Dennis Gilbert, we all know where Dennis Gilbert's ceiling is. If he can give them 12 to 14 reliable minutes and buff out some of the mistakes, maybe he can get them through till a little bit closer to the trade deadline. Maybe they move someone else the offside when Michael Stone gets back. Maybe that's a guy that Daryl Sutter can trust a little bit more. But you're absolutely right. It is going to be fascinating to see where it goes, because we've seen several different iterations of that. We've seen several different guys auditioned in that spot. And all indications are that Daryl Sutter, you know, hasn't found the right fit. He hasn't found the guy that he really trusts in that sixth spot.
Yeah, it's going to be – and you know, maybe it is just as simple as you go back to Uyghur and Tanev on a pairing and you go with Stone and Zadorov, or you go with Stone and Tanev as a pairing because they played together quite a bit last year when Stone got into action. So, I mean, it's not like they're completely out of options, but for them to go left, right, left, right, left, right, they don't have as many options right now because Shillington's not with them. That's kind of the thing that is – or one of the things that is throwing everything off. Plus, you go out and you bring Uyghur in, and you want to have him in your top four, and he's also a right shot. It's just turned into a really interesting situation. I don't think it's something that's gonna be detrimental or a massive worry. It's more a curiosity thing, right? Like, how does it look when Daryl Sutter is fully solid with his D pairings? What do those three pairings look like, and how do they get back to being able to roll three pairings like they did basically for 82 straight games last year?
Yeah, and I think you nailed it when you suggested maybe Stone and Tanev. I think that's the next experiment, is to see how that might work. It's probably easier, at least for now, to move a guy to the left side than it is to go out and try and get someone. I know. I'm going to sound like a broken record. I've said it before. I wonder if this sort of extended reset is part of how it starts to turn for Connor Mackey. I think there's a lot of people that don't have a ton of faith that Connor Mackey can be a regular NHL defenseman. I don't know in the offices at the Saddledome where they are on that now. Certainly the shine has come off a prospect that they were really excited about, and a guy who's not prospect aged anymore. I wonder if an extended reset and maybe help rebuild some confidence in practice and see if it goes any better the next time he goes in. I wonder if that's the start of it. But last night when Chris Tanev leaves that game briefly at the end of the first period, that sort of a wake-up call, right? That reminds you that they're one injury away from now potentially a Dennis Gilbert and Michael Stone pairing, or maybe Dennis Gilbert and Nick DeSimone again. And I don't think Daryl Sutter would trust that tandem.
I don't either. And yeah, I'm it's just something to watch as the year goes along, no doubt about it. With Wes Gilbertson of Post Media, he is with us in Washington. My name is Pat Steinberg. As we continue along from Adrenaline Source for Sports on this hour of Flames Talk, we're getting ready for the Black Friday sale at Adrenaline. The first 50 people to walk through the doors Friday here at Adrenaline are getting gift certificates, as they're giving away over $3,000 worth of gift certificates and sales across the board. Amazing deals on Yeti drinkware and apparel, branded apparel. Buy one, get 50% off. Sticks, buy one, get 50% off on select pro level models. Great deals on pro goal products, up to 40% off of other goalie products. Licensed jerseys, price to move, all here at Adrenaline Source for Sports as we continue along this hour of Flames Talk. Adrenaline's easy to find. 9309 McLeod Trail South.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, this hour continues from Adrenaline Source for Sports. My name is Pat Steinberg. 9309 McLeod Trail South is where you can find Adrenaline. They're open till 7 on weekdays, so come on down and don't forget the Black Friday sale on Friday with doors at 9 a.m. on Friday. Okay, so the Flames have two more games still to go on their road trip. They play Saturday and Friday and Saturday afternoon. They play Friday in Washington and Saturday in Carolina. Right now, the Flames are 2-1-1 on this six-game road trip in their first four games. Wes Gilbertson's with us in Washington. And, Wes, you spoke with Mackenzie Weegar after practice on Thursday. And why don't you set it up for us? You kind of asked him a little bit about these last two games and how they can kind of determine how successful this trip is.
Yeah, I think you'd be really happy so far with five of a possible 8 points, especially when you consider the caliber of the competition you've faced on this road trip. And so, but I think, you know, five of a possible eight, while good, five of a possible dozen would be, you know, you wouldn't take that coming home. And so I really think how this road trip is remembered is based on the last two games. If you can come home with 8 or 9 points out of a possible dozen, you feel really good about yourself. If you come home with five of a possible dozen, it's a little different story. And that's the road that I went down with, among other guys, Mackenzie Weegar, after practice today in Washington.
So before we get to the Daily Flames roundtable, Derek is standing by to jump in on this topic as well. Here's Wes with Mackenzie.
You know what, to be honest with you, I think it's a good trip so far. I don't think it's a great trip by any means. We're doing the right things. I think we're all kind of waiting on something great to happen. You know, we all talk about the effort, the compete level.
Sure.
You know, Vladdy, Mark Yarrell, you know, they're playing great. I think as a team, I think it's, you know, it's now to take a step, you know, one more step forward and really push to be great rather than, you know, being complacent with being good. You know, I think Pittsburgh's a tough team to play. You know, Florida was tough. Tampa, we played a good game. But we're getting points, which is a big thing. But at the same time, I think, you know, I think we all know in here the expectations are a little higher.
Right.
And we want to do better than just collect one or 2 points here and there. We want to win.
Would you, like, is there a chance for this to be a great trip if things...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think if we win the next two games, I think it is a great trip.
Yeah.
You know, Washington and Carolina are two tough teams.
Sure.
They're playoff teams. You know, it's not going to be easy, but I think we have the group in here to do it. But like I said before, I think it's time for us to take another step forward and really taking it by storm and you know, not sitting back and being complacent with, you know, 1 point in overtime here and there. It's time to, you know, take advantage of this road trip.
So that's Mackenzie Weegar with Wes Thursday after practice in Washington. Leads us in to our Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, home of the Mercedes-Benz AMG GLC 43 with the 4MATIC all-wheel drive system. Perfect for winter, MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca. Wes in Washington, Pat here at Adrenaline Source for Sports. Now the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, joins us. And Derek, pick up on that. The Flames are 2-1-1 on this road trip so far, with two more games to go on Friday and Saturday. It's a little matinee back-to-back for Calgary. How are we feeling about this road trip? How are we feeling about the Flames on this trip as they go into this final two-game back-to-back?
Well, four games in, their record's okay. I mean, 2-1-1. I think you'll take that, how they got there. I think leaves a little room for improvement, but ultimately it's a results-based business, and when the Flames were playing pretty well and losing, we kept talking about how important the process was, but sooner or later the results would have to be better. And now the results are better, and I think the process could still be better. But 2-1-1 in the first four games, I think that's a decent start to the trip. I said before the trip that if they could finish above 500, whether that be 4-2-0 or 3-2-1, that I would consider that to be a successful trip, given some of the challenging opponents and the challenging schedule, 6 games in 10 days with travel between all 6 of the games. So not an easy trip from that perspective, but you know, I do think the Flames have played good for stretches during this trip, but they haven't played to their potential for stretches during this trip as well. But I mean, if they could split the last two games, then I think they would feel pretty good about themselves coming back to Calgary. If they could win the last two games or pick up 3 of a possible 4 points in the last two games, then I think they'd feel really good about themselves coming home. And I do think that they have a chance to do that. Tomorrow they take on a Capitals team that's 2 games below .500 in the win-loss column. Saturday they wrap up the road trip against a Hurricanes team that's you know, like a lot of other teams that were considered to be strong Stanley Cup contenders prior to the start of the season, just off to a so-so start in 2022-2023. So I think that you certainly would hope to win at least one of those two games, if not expect to win one of those two games. And, you know, again, if they can get a split in the last two, then I think that makes for a good road trip. If they could win the last two, then I think that makes for a great road trip.
As a general rule, whenever the number of points you get on a trip is higher than the number of games you played, you feel pretty good about it. And so I absolutely think if you can come home with seven or more, you do feel good about it. Unfortunately, the Calgary Flames did some damage to themselves on that extended homestand to start the season. And that means that you're going to have to pick up some points on the road. Now it's U.S. Thanksgiving today. They're sitting in a playoff spot. Historically, that's always been a really good sign. But I do think that there's been, while not perfect, I do think there's been some building blocks for this team on the road. I mentioned it. I chatted with Blake Coleman today, and one of the things he talked about was kind of finding, he feels like they've found some fits with the forward lines, that there's something to build on there. I think the goaltending for the most part has been a positive storyline for the Flames on this trip. I think there have been spurts where they didn't love their game, but for sure, if you can go and get two or three or ideally four more points before you come home, that could really be a springboard for this team. That's the sort of road trip that you can really be proud of, and I think that would do a lot for this group.
I think that, like, to that point, I do think there are some positives on this trip. Goaltending is one of them, because we obviously know what Vladar did on Wednesday against Pittsburgh, but I've liked Markstrom's game for the most part on this trip so far. So the goaltending has been decent in the first four games. I like the fact that Jonathan Huberdeau's game seems to really be getting to some different good levels, and he has been far more offensively dangerous. There's been way more wow moments with this guy. Like, he is resembling the player that I think we were all excited about to such a high degree when he was acquired and then signed, and he really seems like he's finding it. So I'm feeling pretty good, guys, going into these last two. And, you know, especially with a back-to-back against good teams, you usually kind of expect a split, and, you know, one of them will be three games in four nights or three games in 4 days situation for them, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday in Carolina. So those can be difficult to fight through. But, Derek, if they go 1-1 on these last two, they still come home on this trip with a 3-2-1 record. So if that's what we're talking about, and if they can get one more win on this trip, I think you can say it's a pretty successful one. They'll still be in a playoff spot after American Thanksgiving, which is always that threshold date that we talk about, whether we believe in it or not. And I think that there have been some building blocks laid, and I think a 3-2-1 road trip, you come home from that thinking to yourself, okay, that's a nice little foundational piece, and some of the things that they were able to find on this trip, whether it be D combos or forward lines, you know, those are things that they can then build on going into December and going into the second quarter of the season.
Yeah, I mean, if you finish 3-2-1 on this trip, that's fine, and I think you come home and like you said, you feel like you've probably built something. Dan Vladar played a great game last night. Jonathan Huberdeau is playing a lot better. Dylan Dubé has scored in back-to-back games. There have certainly been some positives on this trip, but, you know, they still need more from some guys. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And, you know, one of the things I've been thinking a lot about over the last couple of days, guys, what's the Flames' identity? Because I think they had a pretty clear identity last season. They were a team that was really strong defensively, that got great goaltending, and that had a line that could put the team on their back offensively and win games with Elias Lindholm centering Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk. I think I know what the Flames want their identity to be this season. I'm just not sure they've played to that identity all that often. Now, the good news is you want to continue to build as the regular season goes on, and as we've all talked about, this team isn't going to be judged on what they do or don't do in the regular season outside of, I would say, finishing in a top three spot in the Pacific Division and getting back to the Stanley Cup playoffs. That would be step number one. But they're going to be judged based on what they do in the playoffs. not on what they do in the regular season. So as long as they continue to trend in the right direction and get their game to a place where they're, you know, feeling good about themselves or really good about themselves going into the postseason, then I think that makes for a successful regular season. Now, there's a long way to go, and there's a lot of work to do. And I think tomorrow's another opportunity for the Flames as they take on a Capitals team that is struggling so far this season, thanks in large part to injury issues. When you look at their group, they've got a really good veteran group when healthy, but they haven't been healthy. Nicholas Backstrom and Tom Wilson haven't played a game yet. Up front, TJ Oshie and Connor Brown have missed a bunch of games. On the back end, John Carlson and Dmitry Orlov have missed a bunch of games. So tomorrow is an opportunity for the Flames to get to 3-1-1 in the first five games of this season-long six-game road trip. And I wouldn't say it's house money if you win tomorrow and go into Carolina feeling like you've got nothing to lose, because you'd want to take 2 points against the Hurricanes as well. But, you know, tomorrow's a big game. It's one on paper that the Flames should win. So they got to go out, take another step forward, find a way to pick a couple of points up, and then you set yourself up to have a great road trip if you can somehow win the back-to-back against the Hurricanes on Saturday and come home 4-1-1, and then I think you've really built something.
Mm-hmm. What I was struck by in my conversation with Mackenzie Weegar today after practice here in Washington was him essentially admitting that the Flames fit in that category that you mentioned with the Carolina Hurricanes, a team that had very high expectations and has been sort of just so far this season. And you know, I following that up, I had a conversation with Chris Tanev, and you know, I said kind of off the cuff, well, 5 out of 8 so far on this trip is, you know, you've got to feel pretty good about that. And his response was, that's sort of what we expect to do all season. And so I think that's a good sign. There is some maybe swagger starting to show with this group, and I think that's starting to show because they know their game is getting closer to where they need it to be. I'm not sure that was the case last night in Pittsburgh. Dan Vladar helps them steal a point, but I think for the large part, they're feeling good about the way their game is trending. You just hate to see that get set back with a couple of losses to end this trip. That's what makes this back-to-back set so important, is I do feel like there's some momentum building. You need to keep pushing that forward. You can't give that up before you come back to Calgary on Saturday night.
Wes Gilbertson, Derek Wills, my name is Pat Steinberg. Daily Flames Roundtable on this Thursday edition of Flames Talk. And I guess let's build from there, because as they go into these final two games of this road trip, there's still areas of their game that need to take steps, and there's still individuals that need to take steps. Now, guys, we've seen Dylan Dubé score in consecutive games. He scored Monday, and he scored on Wednesday. That's a good sign after going 16 straight without one. And hopefully, Derek, a sign of things to come. But when you think about it, even with a couple of goals scored now from Dylan, how much more do they need as they move into the second quarter of the season? How much more do they need from Dylan, and how much more do they need from Andrew Mangiapane right now?
Well, it's funny because it's almost good news and bad news all wrapped up into one. Good news in the sense that, you know, the Flames are a couple of games above 500, despite the fact that a number of their players haven't played, I would say, anywhere close to their potential on a regular basis this season. And the reason I say it's both a good thing and a bad thing is, you know, they're still an above 500 hockey club, so that's good. The bad is that they have a bunch of guys who I believe are underperforming. But that could also be a good thing, because if those guys get back to where they were last season or get back to where they've been throughout their NHL careers, then I think this is going to be a really tough team to beat in the final three quarters or final half or final quarter of the regular season, whatever they need to put themselves in a good spot heading into the Stanley Cup playoffs. But, you know, Andrew Mangiapane right now is probably at the top of my list. Because Dylan Dubé has scored in back-to-back games, I think he falls down my list of guys who have to be better. And, you know, a goal or two can really do wonders for a player's confidence. And Dubé's starting to look like a more confident player, the player I expected him to be this season when I predicted that he was going to take another big step forward coming off a career year last year. But, you know, Andrew Mangiapane is coming off a career year and has 3 goals, 4 assists, and 7 points in 19 games. And guys, I hate to pick on him because I absolutely love him as a person and I love him as a player when he's right, but I don't think he's been right for a good chunk of the season. Not only are the numbers not there, he just hasn't been around the puck. The puck hasn't been around him, following him around like it usually does. And normally you can't question his work ethic, but there have been some games where he's left more than a little to be desired. So, you know, I guess the good news is the Flames are where they are, despite the fact that a guy who scored 35 goals last season only has three, and we're approaching the quarter point of this season. I do think that he's going to figure it out, and I do think that he's going to be better, but he's not the only one they need more from. Nazem Kadri got off to a great start this season. I think he has really fallen off. It's not that he's hurting the team. We just know how good he can be, and he hasn't been that guy for a little while now. Blake Coleman's, I think, been good defensively. He started to chip in a little bit more offensively. That's a great sign. Jonathan Huberdeau, his game is really building, in my opinion, and I think he's ready to explode sometime soon, so that's a great sign. Adam Rzeczka, a healthy scratch in 10 of the first 11 games, has 8 points in 9 games this season. He's been a really pleasant surprise. I think that Milan Lucic is struggling mightily right now. That guy can use a goal probably as much as any other member of the Flames. Hasn't scored in, I believe, 41 games now. Hasn't scored a goal in 19 games this season. Maybe if he gets one and gets the monkey off his back, he starts to be more productive. You know, Kevin Rooney, I thought, got off to a decent start this season, but he's had a tough time staying in the lineup. So I guess, long story short, is that the Flames have a bunch of individuals who they need to take a step forward in order for the team to take a step forward, or at least a bigger step forward, because I'm with you guys. I do think that the team game is trending in the right direction, but I really do believe that in order for the Flames to get to where they think they should be and might need to be to finish top three in the division and to still be considered a strong Stanley Cup contender, they need more from some individuals. And once they get it, and I believe they will, then they're going to be just fine.
I had a really interesting post-game chat with Dylan Dubé in Philadelphia, and he just scored on opening night and then 16 in a row without a goal. So he just scored his second of the season. And when I asked him about snapping out of the slump, the comment he made to me was, I wasn't playing good enough. I wasn't playing well enough to be scoring before. And so the way he explained it was, scoring was kind of the least of my worries at that point. I was not helping my line mates. I was not helping the team, and I needed to start playing better hockey before I was going to be rewarded with goals. And that, to me, sort of frames the Andrew Mangiapane conversation. He is, for my money, he's the most disappointing Calgary Flame so far this season. Not only is he not scoring, he has 3 on the season. He had 0 shots again last night in Pittsburgh. Yep. And he's costing the team goals. He had to get that puck deep last night. It gets turned into a goal by Jan Ruta. 2 nights before in Philadelphia, he coughs up the pizza in his defensive zone, and suddenly it's 3-2 and a really interesting hockey game, not in the good way. And so not only is Andrew Mangiapane not helping offensively right now, but he's had a few plays where he's hurting them, and they absolutely need that to stop. Andrew Mangiapane, now with the contract, coming off the, you know, a career high 35 goals, being paid like a go-to guy now, they absolutely need more of him. And with 3 goals, as we're almost a quarter way through the season, that's just not going to cut it.
Yeah. I hope that this is a sign of things to come from Dylan, but guys, there's no doubt that, you know, the Andrew Mangiapane story, it's starting to get to the point where, I don't know, I'm a little concerned, because the guy, I've never seen him play like this before. He looks tentative. He looks like he's lost a lot of confidence in himself. He looks like it just, even going back to when he was breaking into this league and playing on a fourth line with Garnet Hathaway and Derek Ryan, you always knew what to expect from 88. And right now, Derek, I don't know what to expect from him on a game-to-game basis. I don't, and I don't know if it's a pressure thing, as Wes just mentioned, with a new contract and now being not just asked to be a go-to guy, and that's good, but now you're expected to be a go-to guy and one of the drivers of this offense. I don't know if it's, you know, having new players come in, a new center. I don't know. You know, he's barely played with Backlund this year. I don't know what the issue is, but I know that he does not look anything like the Andrew Mangiapane that made so many Flames fans a fan of this guy because of the way he competed and the way he worked. I don't think this is a lack of effort. There's no chance it's a lack of effort, but is this, there's something not right in his game right now, and it's starting to become a little concerning as you know, we move towards 2 months into the season.
Yeah, it's definitely concerning. I mean, they need more from him, and again, for me, it's about more than just the goals, assists, and points. I want to see that puck following him around again, because that's when he's at his best. And you know what, Wes, I love what you said about Dylan Dubé, and I love what he said to you about how when he was struggling, he didn't deserve to score goals because he wasn't playing the game the right way. And I'm paraphrasing and probably paraphrasing pretty poorly, but you know, I just think that's a really mature way to look at it. And I'm sure Andrew Mangiapane is looking at it the same way. I had a great chat with him. I think it was on Monday, and he basically told me that he has to be better. Well, he has to be better. He has to go out there and he has to do things differently. He has to get back to the level that he was at last season. And I'm not even talking about the goals and the points. Again, I'm just talking about the way we know he can play the game. He hasn't been that guy. He hasn't been in the middle of everything. And to steal Glenn Gulletson's good old line, he hasn't been in the fabric of the game as much this season as he has been in any of his previous seasons as a member of the Flames. And that's going back to before he ever scored 35 goals in this league. We know he can be better. I don't ask players to be something that I don't believe that they can be or that they haven't been before. I think you guys would agree. We know Andrew Mangiapane can be better. He knows he can be better, so he's going to have to be better moving forward. The good news is we're not even a quarter of the way into the season, and there's plenty of time for him to find his game and start putting the puck in the net again, which the Flames could use because they haven't been as stingy defensively this season as they were last season. The goaltending hasn't been quite as good this season as it was last season. And offensively, goals are up around the league. So I take that stat with a grain of salt. But you know, sometimes you do have to outscore some issues that you have. And the Flames have done that in some games, like they did in that game against the Flyers on Monday, like they did in that shootout win over the Panthers last Saturday. But that's not a recipe for success. Ultimately, the process and the results both need to be there. And it feels like at times the process has been good and the results haven't been. And at other times the results have been good, the process not so much. So in order for the Flames to get to a level that they want to be at and need to be at, I think they're going to have to have both the process and the results a lot more regularly moving forward. And that goes for the team collectively, and it goes for Andrew Mangiapane and other players individually as well. Again, guys, to put a positive spin on it, I think we all know the Flames individually and collectively can be better. So that's what gives me a lot of confidence that they will be better moving forward. They're not in a bad spot. They're in a Pacific Division. We're outside of the Golden Knights. You got a bunch of teams that have pretty much just been spinning their tires. I still think the Flames are going to finish top three in the division, and they've got plenty of time to get there, but sooner rather than later would be better.
I know we're pinched for time, so I'll keep this really brief, but I would just add to your point, and it goes for Mangiapane, and it goes for Dubé, and goes for Huberdeau. It's become pretty clear that the Calgary Flames are going to need to score by committee, and you can't have too many committee members missing, or you're going to run into those games where you don't get rewarded.
Yep. It's a good way of putting it. Good stuff, Wilsey. We will talk to you. I don't know what the roundtable is going to look like on Friday, so I'll see you on Friday regardless.
Yeah, this back-to-back is going to be interesting. 12 o'clock start, 2 o'clock start. I don't know how the players feel about it, but I know I'm doing my prep for tomorrow's game today, so it's already got me tied up in a knot. So hopefully the Flames, I handled it better than I've handled it. We'll see how it goes against the Capitals tomorrow.
See you, Wilsey.
See you, guys.
Derek Wills, voice of the Flames, Wes Gilbertson with us from Washington, and my name is Pat Steinberg. That is your Daily Flames Roundtable. It's brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. For the Mercedes-Benz enthusiasts, find the perfect present at the Mercedes-Benz Boutique online at Mercedes-Benz.com. countryhills.ca. As we start to wrap up this hour on Flames Talk, it says Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you on a Thursday. And a couple of texts that have come in on Mangiapane. This says, are teams playing Andrew differently this year? I certainly think there's a whole lot less surprise about him at this point, Wes. I don't think there's any doubt whether they're playing them differently or not. He ain't catching anybody by surprise this year.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of the names you circle on the board now, and that's different. That's something he's got to get accustomed to for sure.
And then the other text from Mike says, Mangiapane needs to play with Backlund. Their styles complement one another well, and when these two cycle down low together, they can be Sedin-esque. I mean, they do play well together. They always have, and maybe at some point that is the tonic to get Andrew Mangiapane's game back in order, is getting him back with his old line mate. That could absolutely be, and that's no knock on Kadri. Sometimes guys just play better with other players, so that's something that I could absolutely see down the road. As of right now, you're probably wanting to stick with that line with Coleman and Huberdeau and the way they've played, but now that could absolutely, it seems like over the last few years, you put a guy with Michael Backlund, they're able to find their game, and they're able to be pretty good hockey players.
Yeah, absolutely. But what puts your second line, if that's what we're calling it, in a tough spot is that your Lindholm, Toffoli, Ruzicka trio and your Coleman, Backlund, Huberdeau trio. Yep. And I know I didn't get those in the right order, left to right, but those two lines have been fairly strong, I think, for you of late. And so you don't go shuffling the rest of the lines to get one going very often. And that's why you need those, that's why you need the Kadri, Mangiapane and Dubé trio to kickstart themselves. They really have to spare the fact that they have to make it so you don't have to split up those other units.
We wrap up this hour with your Flames Talk Best Bets, brought to you by Bodog.net. Find your next favorite game at Bodog.net. Hashtag make a play. Free play only. 18+. Play responsibly. We went 1-0 on Wednesday night, and we hit our bonus. Now, I said that I would not count the bonus on my record, and I won't, so it won't count on the Best Bets record this week, but we did hit it. So Best Bets 2-3 on the week. We hit the Flames covering the +1.5 puck line. So that's now 7 straight games in Pittsburgh between Calgary and the Penguins that the Flames have covered a +1.5 spread. And we also hit our bonus of that game going to overtime. Now 5 of the last 7 between those two teams in that building have gone to overtime as well. So a good Wednesday for Friday afternoon in Washington. There's not a whole lot out there as of yet, but I do like the Flames on the money line here. And they're actually getting pretty decent value on the money line at -120. The Caps are beat right up. We just went through that on the roundtable, Wes. They're not getting great goaltending either. The Caps are a beatable team, more beatable than they have been in years. So if there's the game that I think the Flames have the best chance to win, maybe on this trip, but definitely on these final two games, it's definitely the one in Washington.
Yeah, I thought Willsy put it perfectly. That's a winnable game. Absolutely. It's, you've been on the road for, I think, 9 days. You're starting to get worn out, but with the injury issues Washington has had, with the roller coaster they've been on, that is absolutely a winnable game tomorrow.
Those are your Flames Talk Best Bets. Before I wrap it up, we'll say Wes Gilbertson, great stuff from Washington with us on this hour of Flames Talk as the Flames get set to wrap up this road trip against the Caps on Friday afternoon. But your Flames Talk Best Bets are brought to you by Bodog.net. Find your next favorite game at Bodog.net. Hashtag make a play. Free play only. 18+. Play responsibly.